Welcome to the Kingdom Cowboy Podcast. The equipping of God's people comes by teaching and imparting the principles of Christ's kingdom as they unfold through the Holy Spirit today. Our focus is to make the scriptures alive, simple, and easy to understand. Now here's your host, Andy Taylor.
Welcome in, everyone, to another podcast of the Kingdom Cowboy. Gabe Etney here. Also got Andy Taylor in the house. Andy, it's been a good week. I've got a lot of things going, and I got a lot of questions.
Good.
Got a lot of questions for you.
It has been a great week. It's a great day here. It's thundering outside, so if y'all hear the thunder and the rain, just rejoice with us, because we're always needing the rain out here in western Oklahoma. I grew up out in the Texas Panhandle, this area. We're always wanting the rain.
Man, it's been rough out in the Texas Panhandle recently with a bunch of fires and different things. Yeah. But man, Lord's bringing some rain and some thunderstorms today. We're grateful. But we're going to go into we're going to talk about the Father. That's the easiest thing to talk about in the world.
For me. Yeah, it is.
There's a couple of questions coming in from the last podcast that I had some questions for.
Okay.
Just being born again, in layman's terms, anybody would hear that. If you just heard that for the first time, it wouldn't make any sense. When you hear somebody say born again,
tell me,
how does the Bible explain that? What does it actually mean, specifically being born again? I hear it in church every day, every time you go to church. Born again.
Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, no one can do the things that you do unless God be with him. So Nicodemus was a ruler of the Pharisees. He's one of the big shot Pharisees. But he saw something in Jesus that sparked something in his spirit. And he came to Jesus at night, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, maybe for fear. If this didn't work out, he's curious. But if it didn't work out, maybe he wouldn't be ostracized by his Pharisee brothers. So he came to Jesus at night. And when he told Jesus that, you must be a teacher come from God. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again or you can't enter the kingdom. You must be born again or you can't see the kingdom. So your question was a question that Nicodemus had for Jesus. And he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So that's a really good question. Then Jesus began to explain to him. He said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel to you, Jesus said, that I say you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus goes ahead and he said, how can these things be? And Jesus goes ahead and talks to him, and he ends up with that John 3:16 thing. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So he goes on and explains that whole thing. It's about being born again. No, you cannot enter your mother's womb and be born again. And so Nicodemus was trying to reason all that out with logical thinking, and it was something that can only be attained and understood by the Spirit. And I said this in one of the previous podcasts. I thought it was a real revelation from God. I was walking out of my office to head to a nearby town to do a funeral service for a young lady. And I was going to explain the whole born again thing, because a lot of people probably have the same kind of question that you have. It's a pretty obvious, logical question. And I was walking out of my office. I know this came from the Lord. And the Lord says, don't try to justify with logic that which can only be attained and understood by faith. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we try to make, and that's what Nicodemus was doing. He was trying to make it logical, but it's one of those things that can only be attained and only be born again and understood, that we can understand about the kingdom and being born again. The only way we can do that is by being born again.
It seems like it's pretty separated. It's pretty cut and dry. One is spiritual. The other is flesh.
Yeah.
It's basically two different things.
And another term that's used more than once, I believe, is being born from above. That's being born again into the kingdom. And I remember on the last podcast, you said, how does a guy get in the kingdom? When you're born again, you're in the kingdom. And actually, if we're alive and on the planet, we're in the kingdom. We may not be connected through salvation by being born again into the kingdom, but the kingdom of God is the domain under which God is the king. And so they say it's an ever expanding universe. So Who knows?
Oh, if they say it, I believe it.
Well, they, whoever they are, they know what they're talking about.
Hey, listen, I'm on the radio. I know whenever somebody on the radio says it, you believe
it's true,
it.
Yeah,
when they say it, I am they sometimes.
Y'all, if you see it on the internet,
exactly.
That's what Abraham Lincoln said. If it's on the internet, it has to be true.
He did say that. I seen a quote the other day on the internet. Being born again is one step. When you say that, being born again of water.
I think what he's talking about is when we're in our mother's womb, we're encased in water. I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
There. But then, yeah, you could go ahead and talk about baptism. But being born again, evangelical church has made that the end game. And if we're not careful, we get a lot of people saved, but we don't get a lot of people established and then growing in their faith and those kind of things. We've really made a point of that around here. So being born again is not the end game. It's the start game. So we come in to the kingdom of God just like a little child. A little child is born, doesn't know anything, doesn't know how to walk or talk or any of those kind of things. And so when we are born again into the kingdom, that's where we are. We don't have any reference for spiritual stuff yet. And we start to learn those things and walk those things out. And it's a lifetime process of being conformed into the image of Jesus. But now we have the Spirit of God who lives in us to guide us along the way and all that. So we have an unfair advantage because we got the Spirit of God living in us to help us do everything that we do.
I'm going to make a little comparison to that. And when you, like, either you first come into being born again, you've seen people just across and just go crazy overboard right when it's just a rush. Mm-hmm. They just can't. I remember going to Falls Creek.
Yeah.
And I remember just when I was a kid, I used to go to Falls Creek with my friends. You just get in there and you get in. And you're just like, you're on fire.
Yeah.
You feel the fire. Not just at that. I don't know if it's just being around it for a week or what it is. I've also seen some people just in different churches is like, man, they got into church and they are the preacher of all preachers. And they're just on fire inside. I think that's the childlike stuff. They're just like, when a kid just found a new rock and it's the coolest rock he's ever found, he's telling everybody he found that rock. And I think that's the same thing. You get in. And the fire's there, and then you start growing spiritually.
That's making me think about when I was first born again in 1974. That's 50 years ago. And I knew that something had happened because when I would do something or say something that was out of character of Jesus, I immediately knew it. And that's that sensitivity that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives that helps guide us and correct us. And hopefully we never lose that. And then if we're not careful, we'll start to grow up in some stuff and we'll forget. We learn a lot of stuff and we start to go on those things that we learn. And if we're not careful, we miss or neglect the help of the Holy Spirit at every turn. So we can always, it's not always an easy place to get back to. Immediately you can get back to, okay, Holy Spirit, and talk to me, help me, guide me, and let me be sensitive to those things like I was sensitive when I was first born again. I think that's a... And maybe that's a little bit what Jesus was saying when those letters to the seven churches over in Revelation, that you've left your first loves. We got to return to those things that were fresh with us when we were born again.
You said something earlier, once you're born again, you're in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ever out?
No.
I mean, are you ever?
That's an easy no there. Yeah.
Are you ever out ever? Isn't your name already in the book? It has to be blotted out. And that's what I've read.
Because a lot of people have this mentality. That's a great point. And this will challenge some people, I bet, because a lot of people think that when we're born again, then our name is written in the book of life. But the Bible doesn't really say that. It says that if we reject through our lifetime, I'm paraphrasing and cutting through a lot of scripture here, but if we reject the Lord, if we reject the Spirit's attempts to bring us to Jesus, into the kingdom, then our names are blotted out. Yeah, your name's already written in the book of life, and all you have to do is just cooperate with Jesus. Come into the kingdom, start your growth there, and it's an incredible journey.
I can feel those checks, too, whenever. They feel like little check it up, just hold up. Just check it up when I'm out. Do something out of character, out of realm, like you just said. It just feels, I can feel it inside my chest a little bit of when I get checked up by the Spirit.
And we have, the Bible refers to it in a place or two like this, we have the gift of repentance. So we can change the way we think, the way we view things and all those kind of things. So if we do mess up, then we can always repent, right? But our goal should not be that. Our goal should be that we listen to the Holy Spirit before we say or do those things that are out of the character and nature of Jesus. So we don't have to do, you don't have to do quite as much repenting. I've done a lot of repenting.
I don't know. Does it count if you are going, I'll repent later for this deal?
No, I don't think that counts. I think that's taking the grace of God.
I think that's wrong, in soccer, you don't want to go against the laws of the game, the good laws of the game. And so it's basically the same thing here. You don't want to try to work that game at all, because that's not a game.
That's right.
By no means. So you talked about being born again, and that's the kind of the gist when you say you want to settle this and give me a short answer of, Andy, I need to be born again. I've heard that. What I need to do?
If someone asks me that question, and for those listening out there, we're in a season where that's going to be happening a lot, and this question is going to come up, or the open door for you to speak into someone's life. What I would say to that is this. One, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I've hit this a couple of times, maybe in previous podcasts, but I get asked from time to time, where in the Bible is that sinner's prayer? There's no such thing. And again, you would think that if we're building the whole evangelical church system based on praying a prayer that's not in the Bible, you would think that, and I'll come back to that, so don't write me off. Don't change channels yet. If that was so important, then it looks like that we would at least have one example in the Bible of someone doing that, and we don't. So it's a matter of, as the Spirit of God draws us, no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. As the Spirit of God draws us to the Lord, and we're talking about salvation. As we're drawn to the Lord in that way, we can either say yes or we can either say no. I use this a lot. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's always there, always willing. And I think there's probably a specific time for us to be born again. And the reason I say that is I use that Acts 17, verse 26 a lot. He, God, has determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries of our dwelling. So the pre-appointed times, I would think that God has an appointment set for us for salvation. You would think that would be one of those times in our life that God would, when we're born again, and those kind of, you'd think that is. So I use that a lot when I'm talking about salvation. All you have to do, now I ask when I walk the aisle at the Wheeler Texas countywide crusade, and I remember them coaching me to ask Jesus into my heart. I did. I don't think there's anything wrong with that if you did it, so it's okay.
You didn't know not to, did you?
I didn't know, sir.
I don't think that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
I didn't know not to. And again, I don't think it's a wrong thing. I'm just saying that when the Spirit of God begins to deal with us about that, all we have to do is open the door and then him coming. So you can't find anywhere in the Bible where the 12 are even saved. You can't, they just begin to walk with Jesus. It's a little bit of a mystery, but there is this thing of salvation. And I think it's good. Someone way back early in my walk with the Lord talked about, you drive a stake right here. You're saved. You receive Jesus, or you ask Jesus, or received him into your heart, your life. And that's where you drive a stake at that point in your life. You don't ever go back past there, because the enemy will try to convince you that you're not saved and all those kind of things. And I always say that's the best evidence that you are saved, as the enemy's trying to convince you that you're not. I had a friend that I haven't seen in maybe 55 years, started messaging me on a Facebook Messenger one night late. He said, you're a phony. God's not. And I'll leave out all the cuss words, but cussing God. And I thought, I just kept sticking with the guy. And anyway, I tried to pray with him. I won't do no, and it was just a mirage of about an hour and a half, about three times. He hung up on me a couple of times and would call me back, or I'd call him back. But there ain't no God. God can't forgive, those kind of things. And anyway, I just kept sticking with him. And I got his phone number. And a few days later, I don't know if he's drinking or not, but I tried to call him a few days later. He would never answer his phone. And about a month ago, within the last month, my phone rang, and it was a 806 number, so I knew it was Texas Panhandle. So
you got to take them Texas calls.
I think you got to take them. Yeah. So it could be the Lord, right?
It could be. Yeah. Or close.
So
let's just say.
So
close.
Anyway, it was. I started not to answer, and I thought, well, if it's important, they'll leave me a message. And I thought, 806 number. That's somebody I know. So it was him. It was him again. And there were three brothers. He was about the 3 or 4 years younger than me. Anyway, started in on me again. But this time he wasn't cussing me or down at me. He was cussing God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kept sticking with him. And he'd been in Vietnam and had to do some things that he felt like God could not forgive him for.
Right.
And his life has just been, he hadn't had much life. He'd done a little time and now he's not healthy. Doesn't seem like he has many friends or anything like that. And so anyway, I just kept sticking with him and he kept saying all this stuff about God. And I'm not going to call him by name, but I said, you don't know anything about God. Obviously the things that you're saying, they're telling me you don't know anything about God. And I started explaining to him about salvation. This went on for 2 hours. I'm making a long story short. And so we just kept on. I kept sticking with him. We got cut off or he hung up or something a time or two, but I just kept sticking with him. And I said, finally, I called him by name and I said, listen, you've been telling me for an hour and a half that you have no life. And I'm telling you that the only way you can have life, which is the only way, Gabe, that me and you can have life or anybody listening out here can really have a life. I said, you spend all this time telling me you don't have a life. I'm telling you, the only way you can have a life is you can trust Jesus as your Savior. Again, a long story short, he blew it off a few times. Finally, we come back to that again. I said, that's all you got to do. I'll use the same thing I'm saying here that Jesus, he said, I stand at the door and knock. And I said, you're not going to know anything about God. Right now, you don't know anything about God, but you can start right here to learn about God. And all it takes is for you to just say, Lord, I receive you into my life. You want to do that? I almost called his name. I said, you want to do that? He got quiet for about 5 or 6 seconds. He goes, yeah, let's do it. So anyway, and I think that's why he was called. And now, again, I want to remind everybody that we're in the middle of a spiritual awakening in the earth right now. Those kind of things are going to happen, and you need to be ready for those kind of things. The Bible encourages us to be instant, in season and out, to just be ready
mm-hmm.
for that kind of thing and be willing to. We're breaking this stuff down and making it really simple, Gabe, for someone who has really no experience in doing and leading, praying with some. I don't like the term leading someone to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We just happen to be there when the Lord led them by us, right? That's happening a lot right now. And so you need to be ready. If you're listening, you need to be ready for that because it's happening on a massive scale. It's going to happen. It's going to be happening more and more. I've seen a lot of that over the last few years more so. And then over the last few months, some of those really, really hardcore, I hate God, I hate church people that are coming to the Lord. And some of these people are going to do incredible exploits in the name of Jesus in this season. It's just going to be a great season that we're in.
I believe the Lord has set the season up. God has set this season up for all of us.
There's no way we could do it.
No, there's nothing man-made about this. This is
right.
Only thing man-made about the whole thing is just the way the world is right now, what man has done to the world. And we're seeing a lot of those things
mm-hmm.
happening.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about the end times. They go to all this stuff. It happened last time. The world got really evil. They flooded the earth. We don't know where this goes. We don't know specifically what this is, but we've read the Bible.
That's right.
And we know some things. We also are in the season. We have a job to do.
That's true. It's a huge responsibility, Gabe, for those who are born again. And just what we do at Trinity Fellowship, what a lot of you do that listen to this podcast that are out there in the ministry is what we do. We're doing our best to get people in the best place they can be so they can be functional contributors to what God is doing now, because God's going to do it through people. That's his choice, is to do it through people. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in the heavenlies. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavenlies. So by God's own design, he won't reach over the church and do what he has given the church authority and power to do. So I say it this way. God is trusting the spiritual well-being of the planet. Every person, these 8 billion people on the planet, God is trusting the spiritual well-being of these 8 billion people to you and me and people like us. That's a huge responsibility. And all we got to do is cooperate. We can't make it happen. We can cooperate with him as he makes it happen. And he makes us look good. He makes us look a whole lot better than we are, right?
It's simpler than you think. It's just stepping out. It's just stepping out a little bit and being there at the right time. And I've got some notes about that I'd like to talk about in the next podcast about just being there at the right time to be in the position God needs you to be in.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you guys for listening to the podcast today. If you like what you're hearing, tell your family and friends here to download the podcast, The Kingdom Cowboy, on your preferred platform. We're on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeart, Player FM, Samsung. We're also on Podchaser and Boomplay, all kinds of places to be able to pick up the podcast. And for Gabe Edney and Andy Taylor, if you want to hear this podcast again, keep it tuned right here to the Kingdom Cowboy Podcast.
Thanks for being with us. Pass the word.
Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Cowboy Podcast, where we give a money-back guarantee. You'll be better when you leave than when you arrived. That's the outcome of listening to God's living word for this hour. Remember to subscribe to this podcast. If you would like to contact Andy with your questions or comments, you can do so at andyrtaylor.com.